From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Friday, February 20th. I'm Abby Larico. The Missouri Historical Society has a new director for its African American History Initiative. The award-winning storyteller says Black history is an integral part of St. Louis's past and present.
There is no St. Louis history without acknowledging and paying homage and recognizing the contributions.
Lia LaFleur Eachwin's plans for the initiative coming up after this news on The Gateway. The Francis Howell School District has received more than 50 book challenges in recent months. School officials announced during a school board meeting last night which books would be kept and which would be removed. STLPR's Hiba Ahmed has details.
Francis Howell removed 25 titles after district staff found that the books were either age inappropriate, in bad condition, or just had low student interest. 17 books, including popular titles like Toni Morrison's The Bluest Eye and Khalid Hosseini's The Kite Runner, will stay on shelves. Both of these books have been challenged all over the country. Board members Jane Pushkar and Stephen Blair disagreed about the final vote to keep the books.
At the same time, the state statutes say that children shouldn't be reading these books, so it's not just one parent, it's state statute.
I want to call out that is your opinion of the reading of the state statute.
The district will publish a public list of all challenged books on its website. I'm Hiba Ahmed, St. Louis Public Radio.
Missouri's Attorney General is weighing in on a suit about abortion access. Catherine Hanaway has joined a coalition of 21 state attorneys general in filing a brief in support of a lawsuit filed by the state of Louisiana. The lawsuit challenges a 2023 Food and Drug Administration action allowing doctors in one state to prescribe abortion pills to patients in another. Hanaway said in a statement, quote, "The federal government cannot simply sweep aside state protections. When it does, we have an obligation to act," unquote. The brief argues that the rule unlawfully overrides state laws that ban abortion and intrudes on state sovereign authority, following the Supreme Court's 2022 decision overturning Roe v. Wade. The Missouri House passed a proposed constitutional amendment yesterday that would create Medicaid work requirements if Missouri voters approve it. The requirements would apply to people within the Medicaid expansion group that was approved by voters in 2020. As St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Kellogg reports, the proposed amendment mirrors federal rules that Missouri must follow in 2027.
The amendment would require people 19 to 64 on Medicaid to work or do a different approved activity for 80 hours a month. Those other activities include job training, enrollment in an educational program, and community service. Republican Darren Chappell is the sponsor of the legislation.
It is to encourage people who are capable of reentering the workforce to do so.
Congress last year, as a part of the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, passed work requirements for people on Medicaid. States will have to implement work requirements by January 1st, 2027. That law could change in the future, however, which is why Missouri Republicans are hoping to place it within the state constitution. In Jefferson City, I'm Sarah Kellogg, St. Louis Public Radio.
A new micro-hospital is now open in North St. Louis. Archview ER and Hospital on North Jefferson Avenue began seeing patients at the end of last year, but celebrated its opening this week. The site is the home of the former Homer G. Phillips Memorial Hospital, which closed in 2024 after being only open a year. Houston-based New Tex Health now operates the facility. Chief Medical Officer Sudhir Atluri says he thinks the hospital has a better chance with New Tex, which operates several facilities nationwide.
So I believe the partnership with them is going to definitely try and help and promote us in the right direction, give the necessary support to try and make this facility a success.
Atluri says the facility is working for approval so providers can accept Medicaid and Medicare insurance. Members of the St. Louis Board of Aldermen pushed Ameren officials for answers on data center costs at a hearing this week. St. Louis Public Radio's Katie Gravich has the latest.
The Public Infrastructure and Utilities Committee pressed Ameren, Missouri on large load tariffs. The new tariffs aim to make large energy consumers like data centers pay their fair share and attract data centers to the region. Officials clarified that large load customers have to pay all expenses associated with joining Ameren's grid, but explained that consumers pay for grid expansion through rate increases. Ameren spokesperson Patrick Brown says the company doesn't expect a proposed data center at the Armory to raise utility bills for residents.
there was a lot of talk of Ameren's discretion and ability to just do things and bill you for it. But we make very few decisions like this on our own or in a vacuum.
Ameren recently announced confidential data center agreements and is building two power plants. I'm Katie Grovich, St. Louis Public Radio.
Governor J.B. Pritzker's plan to address Illinois' housing shortage is raising concerns from an influential group representing the state's towns and cities. The proposal that Pritzker outlined in his budget address this week would loosen zoning laws for construction of multifamily structures and include $250 million in development grants. The governor says that outdated building codes and regulations have stalled construction efforts. That's despite the state's need for over 200,000 new homes by 2030.
We have developers ready to build homes, and we have Illinoisans who need them. And it doesn't get done because of these regulations.
But the Illinois Municipal League said Pritzker's proposal represents a one-size-fits-all solution to a highly localized problem. The group called the idea a, quote, broad preemption to the power of the state's 1,300 cities and villages to regulate local zoning laws. St. Louis City SC starts its season tomorrow as a team in transition. A new sporting director, a new head coach, and without top goal scorer Zhao Klaus, who was sold to the LA Galaxy. They do have some new additions who are out injured or waiting on a visa to join the team. But wingback Conrad Wallum says most of the players are back from last year, and he says they worked together well during the preseason.
It's all already a group and a group dynamic that's there already. So we're not waiting to get started or waiting for some people or injuries or whatever. This is part of the sport.
Most MLS insiders are projecting City SC to finish near the bottom of the Western Conference and not make the playoffs. I'll be watching with optimism, though, when the team opens its season tomorrow afternoon at Energizer Park against Charlotte FC. The Missouri Historical Society is making a new commitment to continue telling African American stories this Black History Month and beyond. Lia LaFleur Eachwin is the Society's new director of its African American History Initiative. She spoke with St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson at the Missouri History Museum about how the initiative will connect all communities to Black history.
I want to be a part of creating this movement with the African American History Initiative that ignites and inspires and puts conversation at the forefront. Because the more we talk about it, the more we will wake up and the more we will get busy on having a real stake economically, socially, all of those things in the future of St. Louis. And we're running out of time. So we have to shift the thinking and we have to be really, really proactive. And I'm hoping with this initiative in this new chapter, for me and for my presence here at the museum, that's what we're gonna do. Mill Creek is a start. We've done it before with the Civil Rights Exhibit. I mean, the History Museum puts the work in. Now it's about us making sure we get the word out.
So over the past few years, we've seen a rise in local and legislative efforts to limit conversations around African American history, more specifically about slavery, systemic racism, and civil rights. What are your thoughts on removing Black history and culture from schools and institutions?
The bottom line is we have to be more courageous and not bend the knee. And so as much as when people start using fear to try to change history, it's sad, it's unfortunate, but we can't allow it to happen.
When you think of St. Louis's identity, what role does St. Louis's Black history play in shaping that identity?
It informs so much of it. There is no St. Louis history without acknowledging, paying homage to, and recognizing, right, the contributions that's the whole. Mill Creek is just one example, right? You see the accomplishments. I mean, we could go down the list of historic names, but what I will also say is I'm putting a message out that people's descendants have to stand up and have to, you know, we can't do it all by ourselves. This is not an individual thing. We have to not let people forget who we are.
What other plans do you have on ways to expand those Black stories?
It is important that we expand and build the endowment fund. I know this is a scary time. You have people pulling out of all sorts, but you know what? Private dollars and private donors fuel so much. And Missouri is one of the biggest, like, philanthropic states. And there's a lot of wealth here. Let's just, and Black folks might not have a biggest stake in that economic picture, but many of us do, right? You don't have to just be Black to support the African American History Initiative. This is about this is a community effort, right? This is about everyone standing up, stepping up, and also recognizing, oh my gosh, St. Louis is St. Louis because of Black history.
That was Lia LaFleur Ichwin, director of the Missouri Historical Society's African American History Initiative, speaking with St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson. You can hear a longer version of their conversation today at noon and 7 p.m. on St. Louis on the Air. Our Brian Moline edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis. Theme music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, thanks so much for listening to The Gateway, and have a great weekend.